Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others and leading guests from the world of women's football.
Cuts back onto her right foot and finds the net!
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. Aston Villa are into the semi-finals of the FA Cup after an extra time win over Manchester City.
Aston Villa rise and meet it! And they've turned in Rachel Daly.
Villa boss Carla Ward will be joining us live in just a moment. Meanwhile, Chelsea progress as they look to retain their title and Manchester United reach the last four for the first time.
Lewis 1, Manchester United 3, Alicia Russo in the first half and second half goals from Burisa and Nikita Paris right at the end, send United into the last four. Brilliant game, brilliant ground to come to. Fantastic host, United win.
And Brighton beat Birmingham to bring some positive light to their season.
Carter sets herself. Goes to the corner and puts it low into the bottom corner calmly. And so it is 2-0 to Brighton.
We'll round up all the FA Cup quarter-final action as well as the Championship and keep you up to date with some of the stories from across the world of women's football. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others.
Hi, I'm Fran Kirby and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Happy Monday, you lovely lot. How you doing? Hope you're well. Hope it's been a fun weekend and you've got yourself out and about and seen plenty of football action. Former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci is with me tonight. How you doing, Jenna?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. What caught your eye this weekend?
Oh, it's got to be that goal from Croft against Mary Earps. I think, you know, that's what the FA Cup's all about, isn't it? Got a team back to 2-1. It was a fantastic goal and she can now say she scored against the best keeper in the world.
Absolutely. The atmosphere at the Dripping Pan apparently was absolutely fantastic. Just a shame for Lewis fans that it didn't go their way. None of the FA Cup quarterfinals disappointed, to be fair. And Aston Villa's game certainly didn't.
Aston Villa rise and meet it! And they've turned in! Rachel Daly, they have done it. Aston Villa are heading to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Huge moment for Carla Ward and Aston Villa.
So three-time FA Cup winners Manchester City are out. Last year's runners-up, of course, as well, at the hands of Aston Villa. Rachel Corsi putting them ahead in the first half. Dana Castellanos equalising before the break. Corsi could have won it in normal time, but her header went just wide. In an extra time, who would you back to get the winner? Rachel Daly, of course. Villa have never won the FA Cup before, but what a season it's been for them so far. Unbeaten in 2023 as well. And who better to speak to than the manager herself, Carla Ward. How are you doing, Carla?
I'm very well, very tired, I'm not going to lie.
Tired from celebrations, perhaps? Come on, give us all the dirt, please.
If only, to be honest. By the time I got back to Sheffield last night, it was gone midnight and I hit the sack. But as you can imagine, adrenaline keeps you awake. And yeah, I must admit, I had very, very, very little sleep. So I'm looking forward to getting into bed tonight, that's for sure.
Hi, Carla. It's Jenna.
Hi, Jenna. How are you?
Good, thank you. Congratulations I was going to ask you how your head was today, but you've just explained it.
And you've got a three-year-old waking you up early hours. I think it's best not to be drinking that late.
Oh, ouch. I just wanted to ask you, if you rewind back to the opening game of the season and that massive, massive win, how much do you think that has played a part in how successful your team has been this season?
Yeah, I'd say massive amounts because, you know, we went through pre-season. We had a bit of, we had a few rocky games and we didn't have the greatest pre-season. But to be honest, I think I always said at the end of pre-season to the staff that I think that might have helped us because we faced different challenges. We had to find solutions and we found a few problems that we maybe didn't realise that were there. So I think that opening game, the character from the group, I think that set us in a, put us in a position where there was a lot of belief. I think everyone realised, you know, we could match ourselves against the best, and I think that helped us kick on from there. But yeah, it's been, look, if you told us that we'd be in the semi-final and unbeaten in 2023 at this point, I would have snapped your hands off.
Well, snap our hands off then, because actually, you know, on this podcast in particular, Carla, we I say podcast, it's a show that turns into a podcast. On this show, Carla, we wax lyrical every week about what you've done with this side, and particularly the signings that you made in the summer, which were incredible, and I've spoken to you about them before. But looking back at that game against Manchester City, a 4-3 win, and, you know, those signings on the score sheet as well, Rachel Daly with two of the goals. We spoke about how you got Rachel Daly to the club in the first place and convinced her to come to Aston Villa. But do you feel as if you were so far ahead of the curve in spotting who you thought could do something special for Villa that it's put you ahead of some of your mid-table last season competitors?
Yeah, I think we were very clear on what we wanted and who we were going after. It's the same even now with the summer window. You know, we've identified key positions that we need. We always try and work a couple of windows in advance. We've got a very clear plan for the next few years, so it's really important that we continue with that. But Rach was somebody, obviously, we looked at for months and months. We were in talks with her for, a good 3 or 4 months before we actually announced her. So that was good. That was important that we got her over the line, particularly because last season we, you know, we really struggled in front of goal. So it was an area we identified early that we needed to recruit. But she's been nothing short of sensational. She really has, you know, she's been brilliant. And, well, she's showing it, isn't she? Popping up with vitally important goals week in, week out.
Yeah, her the relationship that she has with Kenza Dali as well, the two of them, Dali and Daly, they're absolutely superb this season.
Yeah, listen, Kenza for me doesn't get the credit she deserves. I think she's arguably one of the best performing midfielders in the league right now.
Agreed.
You know, we're just so fortunate to have her. She's somebody that, you know, when you look at her previous clubs at Everton and West Ham, she never played really too much in that central position, but, you know, she's such a talented individual, and I think now just playing in behind Rach is causing a lot of teams problems. But we're delighted with them both. They're great characters, they're great professionals, and ultimately they're winners, so they're great to have in the dressing room as well.
What's the, so you've got, you know, Daly, Dali and Nobbs and Stanway. What influence do they have, obviously on the pitch we see it, but off the pitch with your younger players and the squad as a whole?
They have a lot of influence with the staff as well. You know, I'm quite open. The fact, look, I've been in the WSL only 3 years. So when I sign these players, I'm saying, you know, you can help us all. You can help us move forward. And I utilise them whenever I possibly can, particularly in big games when we're going to need experienced players that have been there and done it. I think the younger players thrive on having them in the dressing room. It certainly increases competition, and the levels of intensity have raised and obviously gone through the roof. But it's really important. It really is on and off the pitch. But yeah, you know what? We've got some unbelievably talented youngsters, so they'll be watching everything they do, and hopefully that'll put us in a good position in a couple of years' time.
It's not just those players though, Carla, it feels like the whole club. What exactly is going on behind the scenes to have helped you get to this point?
Yeah, I think look, when I came in, obviously I sat down with Christian Perslow, the CEO, and he was excellent. He you know, he's allowed me to really grow into the role, and he's allowed me to, you know, take the club in the direction I wanted to take it in. He's been fully supportive of everything we wanted to do. You know, he was the first person on FaceTime as soon as the final whistle went last night. They're massively supportive of the women's game. You've got every department sort of backing the women's team, which is really positive. And yeah, just really backing us with our ideas, you know, our vision, where we want to take it, and supporting that. And I think he's allowed us to do that. And I think that's been really important in the success well, of where we're at now.
Yeah, because a lot of people are talking about you potentially breaking into the ceiling as Manchester United have done, into the top three that have been established for a fair while now. But this is a real pivotal point in the future of women's football, with the governance of the league, the future of the WSL and the Championship under discussion, this new company being put together. And Christian Perslow is on the group of experts discussing this as well. But for someone who's been involved in the women's game for so long, what's your vision of the future of women's football?
I think it definitely, needs to be governed. I think it's obviously needs to be taken on by somebody. What that looks like, I'll be honest, I don't know. And my focus is obviously on the pitch. And, you know, Christian being involved is massively important. You know, his passion for the women's game was the reason I came to Aston Villa in the first place. So if he's got anything to do with it, then I would like to think there'll be some fairly good decisions made. But my focus is on the pitch. As long as we can continue to grow it off the pitch, then I think we'll all be happy.
Looking ahead to tomorrow's draw then, who any favourites you want to be pulled out?
Come on, Jenna, you know what I'm going to say here, right?
Standard listen, answer.
Yes and no. Look, I think both Brighton and ourselves would be lying if we said we'll take one. I think we would both like each other. I think that's the reality. You know, I think everybody would expect me to say anyone we do get, we've got this far. We can beat anyone on our day. We've shown that. But yeah, of course, you know, I think it would be great for the neutral as well, for maybe someone like ourselves or Brighton, for an opportunity to get to Wembley.
Yeah, it would be absolutely incredible. And, you know, you were talking about biting our arms off with fifth in the league, unbeaten in 2023 and a semi-final of an FA Cup. But what exactly marks a successful season for you?
Top six, for sure. Obviously, quarterfinal of the Conti Cup, and then a semi-final is massive. You know, if that's it's success already, but we're an ambitious group. You know, we want to keep pushing. We've got seven games left now, plus a semi-final. We want to finish on as many points as possible, and obviously we want to try and get to the final, because what a story that would be for a club like Aston Villa to be in the final, walking out at Wembley. So look, I'm sure the other three managers will be dreaming about it a little bit like I am at the moment. So that's the reality of it. There's no dressing it up. The opportunity to get to a final at Wembley is absolutely huge.
It really is. And we wish you all the best of luck for it, Carla. And it's so lovely of you to join us on Women's Football Weekly. And I'm sure we'll speak to you before the end of the season.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care. Carla Ward there, Aston Villa manager, doing an absolutely cracking job this season. I mean, every time I speak to you, Jenna, every guest that I have in this studio, and we talk about what Aston Villa have done and what Carla Ward has done in particular, she's getting all the plaudits quite deservedly.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a phenomenal season, and as we've just mentioned, I think the start of their season and what that does mentally for your team and the squad as a whole, I think, you know, beating Man City 4-3 on the opening day, I think that's really kick-started them on for the rest of the season. And they've obviously strengthened the squad in the January transfer window with experienced players, with WSL experience and international experience. And they just seem to be going from strength to strength. And the thing I liked about them yesterday, in the extra time when they were 2-1 up, when they're on the ball, they didn't look scared at all. They were so confident, and, you know, they weren't rushing with anything. They were so composed, and, you know, they just look like a team of players who are really, really enjoying their football. They've all got smiles on their faces, and they just look like a really well-connected team at the minute.
And when you look at the other teams in the league who've struggled with a striker,
yes,
a talismanic striker, how clever is the foresight? Months of, you know, we had Carla on just as Rachel Daly was signing. The foresight to do that, and she said, every team should be surely doing that, but clearly they're not, because they're getting to January and going, no, we've got no goals. Let's get a goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, Daly's been phenomenal, hasn't she? And, you know, she's a big, big player, and she's stepped up so many times in big moments for Aston Villa, and she has been the difference, and that's what they paid the money for. And yeah, I mean, it's really, really well recruited, as Carla's just said, then months and months before. I mean, they've got an absolute gem in her, haven't they? Experience, she's scoring for fun, can play any position, you know, I'm sure we'll see her in any position for Aston Villa. But yeah, she's really marked her spot now as that number nine and scoring every week.
Is it realistic that they can break into the dominant top three?
I think if they carry on as they are, I think maybe this season might be a little bit too soon for them, but it looks like they have that plan in place and, you know, they're already looking ahead to the summer. So I don't see why not next season they strengthen and strengthen, why they can't be knocking on the door, because they've already caused some upsets this season and taken points off of top teams.
Yep, they certainly have. And they're into the semi-finals of the Women's FA Cup. This is Women's Football Weekly. Faye Carruthers and Jenna Scalacci with you. And next, we're going to round up the rest of the FA Cup quarter-final action.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
It's a wonder goal!
The home for women's football.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers. Former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci is alongside me. As we were saying earlier on when Carla Ward was with us, Aston Villa through to the FA Cup semi-finals. There were three other quarter-finals that didn't disappoint. Both championship sides, though, sadly out of the competition. But here's how the rest of the weekend sounded.
Lewis 1, Manchester United 3. Nikita Paris down the left-hand side in on goal. Finish past Whitehouse. There won't be a cup upset here. Paris scores, c'est la vie. Lewis 1, Manchester United 3.
Quality attacking work from the FA Cup holders. She's contributed an assist, won a penalty, and now Guru Wrighton gets on the score sheet. A simple tap-in as Reading were carved open ruthlessly by the visitors.
So Manchester United reached the semi-finals for the first time after victory at the Dripping Pan. They took an early lead after Rianne cleverly turned into her own net. Vilda Boarissa doubling their lead after the break. Lewis, though, refused to give up. Emily Kraft, as Jenna said at the top of the show, pulling one back, lifting the ball over Mary Earps after a poor clearance. But Nikita Paris sealed the win for United just before the 90. Let's hear from both managers, shall we? Lewis boss Scott Booth, but first, United boss Mark Skinner.
I don't think we performed as well as we can do, but I want to give a lot of credit to the fans, to Lewis, for everything they put up against us. They were fully at the races with physicality and made it difficult for us. So it's not really about we should have risen in the game and been better, but a lot of credit goes to the energy and the fans of Lewis that made it a difficult game.
With the hard work we put in midweek, with the shape of our team and the way that we were going to press and the kind of ability to frustrate Man United, because we know they're going to have a lot of the ball, and I think that we got all of those things pretty much right. By pushing on and by going for that second goal, you obviously leave yourself open at the back. That was what we had to do, and the players did it really well.
Yeah, Lewis did play really well, Jenna. They had their chances, as Scott Booth said, and the atmosphere at the Dripping Pan was incredible.
It was. I was watching it and you could feel the buzz around the ground, couldn't you? It was packed out, people on their balconies watching over. Yeah, it was really got that FA Cup feel. And I thought Lewis actually started quite brightly. They had the first chance in the opening minutes. And, you know, as the managers just said there, they set up to frustrate Manchester United. Obviously, you're not going to have a lot of the ball, but they did, you know, they showed glimpses of what they're about. And I thought they can be really proud of their performance, especially up against the top team in Man United, who are in great form themselves. And I think, you know, obviously, after a couple of changes in Man United, you look at the bench and you bring in Nikita Paris on and, you know, superstars. And she came on. And it was a great solo goal to, I think, take the game out of reach. But definitely, I think Lewis can hold their heads up high. They really took the game. They didn't fear Manchester United, you know. You could see they had a game plan and they went with it. They had a few counter-attacks that they just missed that little bit of quality in the final third.
Yeah, such a shame, especially because, as Mark Skinner said, there were some frailties from a United perspective. They're having a little bit of a season that is reminiscent of Chelsea at the moment as well, where they seem to be grinding out, getting the points and not necessarily putting in the best performances.
Yeah, you know, you'd think going to a place like Lewis and the quality that Manchester United have, they would go on and win it quite comfortably. But I think Lewis made it quite difficult for them. They frustrated them. And I think sometimes when you play a team in a league below, sometimes your levels do drop, but ultimately they found enough quality. And as you say, they didn't play their best, but they're still getting the results. I think for Manchester United, a real positive was Ona Bagier out on the right. She's just having a fantastic season, and two assists from her again down that right-hand side. She was actually the the person to unlock Lewis in the end.
Yeah, she was superb, as she has been all season, as you say. And United still in with a shout of winning two bits of silverware.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, they've come on so much, and they've strengthened their team as well, and they now have that belief and that quality to, you know, to beat the top team. So I think they'd be disappointed if they come out this season with no silverware.
Yeah, for sure. It has been an incredible season for them, but I feel as if the confidence within the team, a little bit as you know, Carla Ward was saying earlier on about the mentality that her Aston Villa side have, and that it has already been a successful season, but they are ambitious and they want it to be a really successful season and into next season. Manchester United, it feels like they're at that tiny edge above where Aston Villa are at the moment.
Yeah.
And they are on the cusp of getting that silverware. So it will be a huge disappointment if they don't get it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, each season it improves. So last season, Manchester United were maybe dropping silly points or failing, you know, to turn draws into 3 points. But this season, they've learnt from that. They've had you've got Ella Toon and Russo, Earps, who've had a phenomenal summer and come back with this confidence and belief now that they can put their mind to it and they can achieve anything now. And I think that's rubbed off on the rest of the team. And I think you do learn from that. And I do think Manchester United are probably a season or two ahead of Aston Villa in that aspect. And a few other teams. But again, I'm sure they'll recruit. They'll be looking probably to get Russo as their number one target. Keep her. Ono Baja, I know, is out of contract. Mm. So, you know, they've got some key players that they have to try and keep, I think, if they're going to kick on.
Yeah, absolutely. Chelsea have kicked on, though, reigning FA Cup champions. Of course, they beat Reading by 3-1. Third season in a row that Chelsea have made the last four. Guru Wrighton, the standout performer in this one, as she has been all season as well, involved in 2 in the first half, setting up Jess Carter's opener and then winning the penalty that Maren Mjelde scored 3 minutes later. Scored herself then just after half time before Trollsgaard pulled one back. She'd had another ruled out for offside just before that as well. I mean, it was always going to be an uphill battle for Reading, Jenna, but Chelsea were clinical.
They were. It was fairly routine performance for Chelsea. You know, they could afford to drop Kerr and James, who have been their star players this season, still come out with a comfortable 3-1 win. And that again shows you the depth and talent that they have within that squad. They didn't necessarily play the best either. But again, like we said so many times on this show, you know, they dug out, they get a result. It doesn't have to be pretty, especially at this stage in the season and in the FA Cup. And as you said, Wrighton was just phenomenal again. 2 and a goal.
She's another player that's gone under the radar. You know, yeah. Carla Ward was talking about Kenza Dali going under the radar, which I don't think she has on this show. she's been getting all the plaudits, but, you know, I see what she means. She's not got the kind of superstar status that some of the other players, and I feel like Guru Wrighton could be put in that bracket as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, early on in the season, she was creating so much and she was just effective. She was at the heart of everything that Chelsea did and assisting and scoring. And yeah, I think now people are starting to talk about her as she deserves. And I'm sure Emma Hayes will still say she's got lots of room to improve. And she's a fantastic talent and just seems to be growing each game.
Well, let's hear from Emma Hayes, shall we? She's up first after her, the Reading boss, Kelly Chambers.
I thought we adapted really well, playing a team that presses really aggressively, really high, so you haven't got time and space to play in the way that you want, but I thought we exploited the space they gave us.
I'm just disappointed in how we've conceded goals today. I think we've gifted them the game, if I'm completely honest. The 3 that we've conceded is they haven't carved us open, they haven't done anything that you go, or maybe they were just better than us on day. We've given them the goals, and that, for me, that's the most disappointing thing. But they're things that are rectifiable, and for me it's an improved performance from last week, which is something that I really wanted going into the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably weren't expecting necessarily to roll Chelsea over and get into the semi-finals. They've got a big battle on their hands in the relegation places.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, I think it in one sense it kind of does them a favour in that now all they can't have to focus on is that relegation battle that they've got ahead of them. And boy, they're going to need every bit of it, because at the minute you just can't call who's going to get dragged down into it, can you? So yeah, I mean, I think for Reading, I think the key for them this season is to stay in the WSL and possibly not the FA Cup.
Yeah, or Brighton, just a point above Leicester in terms of that relegation spot. and they beat Birmingham by 2-0. 2 goals in 4 minutes, actually, secured their win over Birmingham at St Andrews. Poppy Pattinson from a corner and Danielle Carter from the spot. Not as straightforward, though, as the scoreline maybe suggests, because Birmingham hit the woodwork 5 times in this game. Ultimately, though, punished for 2 mistakes, but they'll be kicking themselves, won't they?
Oh, yeah, I think if you hit the woodwork 5 times, that is just... I mean, once or twice you can take it, but 5 times, that's got to hurt. You know, they created a lot of...
It hurts the woodwork.
you got to be annoyed that you're not being clinical in front of that goal. They missed a real opportunity and then switched off in 4 minutes and the game's over. But, I mean, what that result could do for Brighton and the rest of the season could be a massive turning point for them. Obviously, now they have to concentrate on the FA Cup and this relegation battle. But I think for the team in general... I think performances for them have been a lot better. And I think this could be a turning point for them.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting, won't it? And be interesting to see whether or not interim boss Amy Merrick's is finally given the job after 2 managers have gone before her. The draw is Tuesday morning. So if you're listening to this podcast after morning live, you know it already. However, all of you joining us this evening won't have a clue either. Could Carla Ward get her wish of Aston Villa, Brighton and one of the so-called smaller teams in the league? I mean, there's a 50-50 chance, is there not? Or is it 25%? I don't know. Oh, I'm not very good at that.
That's not my strong.
That's why I'm a broadcaster, not a mathematician. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with Faye Carruthers and former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci. Next, we're going to wrap up the rest of the weekend and midweek action.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Hi, I'm Georgia Stanway and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As Georgia Stanway says, you are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. We are the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers. Alongside me tonight, former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci. Don't forget, if you do miss any of our shows, or if you want to listen again, our podcast is available on the TalkSport app. That's the easiest place to get it. Go ahead and download it today. Now then, there was a massive game at the bottom of the WSL on Wednesday night. Just 3 points separated Tottenham and Leicester before kickoff, but a stunner from Bethany England has lifted managerless Spurs up 2 places to 9th. They're 5 points clear of the relegation place. They had been winless in 9 before this game and sacked coach Rhian Skinner just 2 days before the match. Jenna, Leicester had their chances, but how vital was this for your side?
Oh, it was huge. I think, you know, there was so much pressure on the team going into that match. I think there's a lot of attention on the team given Rhian departing ways on the Monday and tough result at the weekend against Liverpool. And I think, you know, so much pressure for both teams, Leicester and Tottenham, but I think a lot more eyes are on Tottenham. You could kind of sense the pressure. I think they've had a really, really bad run of results. I think confidence was low and they had to get a result going into that game. Managerless, as you say. I mean, there couldn't have been a worse situation, but I mean, it took a really special goal from Beth England to separate the two teams, and that's ultimately why the club have paid 200, you know, that kind of money for Beth England, because she does step up in big moments. And I don't think we'll know until the end of the season just how important that goal is and them 3 points.
Yeah, it is absolutely massive. Bit of a hammer blow for Leicester, bearing in mind that the run that they'd been on, and they'd have hoped to have, you know, plunged Tottenham into a bit of trouble there. I think in terms of goal difference and stuff, they still have, you know, the worst goal difference. But Vicky Jepson in charge, an interim charge at Tottenham. We still don't know whether she's been given it for the rest of the season, but it did seem quite kind of like quick press the exit button, the ejection button, as you like, as if you're in a plane with Rhianne Skinner, with no succession plan necessarily.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I was quite surprised at the time, given that, you know, they had two days to prepare for what is the biggest game at the time of their season. They were looking at the league table on Monday. They were in a really, really bad situation, you know, and a real danger of getting relegated. And I think, given the investment that the club have put in, I think given the quality that they have in that team, the signing of Bethany England, that team cannot get relegated. And I think, you know, it hadn't been working for a long time now. I think October was the Brighton game, was the last time they picked up any points. I think the performances under Rhianne since the turn of the year, I felt, had really improved. But they were just still struggling to get the points over the line and turn those performances into points. So obviously, like, you never want to see anyone lose your job. And I know that Rhianne's put blood, sweat and tears into the club and to professionalise the team on and off the pitch. So obviously, it was a sad day to see her go. I think ultimately it paid off in the fact that maybe the team just needed, you know, a fresh, I don't know, even though Vicky's been there, I think, you know, they'd lost their manager. It's time for them to step up now, and they have to be winning games against teams in and around them if they want to stay up. So I think credit to every single player, they stepped up. But I could kind of see, I was speaking to you before the show, the opening 30 minutes, it didn't look like a Tottenham team that I'd ever recognised. There was just no confidence on the ball. It was almost like nobody really wanted the ball. But the second that goal went in, it started to click and they started to play football again. And you could see the confidence. So I think that for them will, fingers are crossed, it's turned the season around. I think it will. It was a massive moment for the club. And, you know, it gives them that confidence and they can play. They are the quality on paper. They've got a really good squad there. If you look at individuals, they've just got to now kick on. They've got a job to do to keep the team in the league, and got another tough game coming up now at the weekend. But the remaining matches are against those teams in and around them. So I think they now can kick on and do what we're used to seeing last season.
Yeah.
I think last season they overachieved massively.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe
come back. Because I thought they were going to be doing an Aston Villa this season. I was convinced of it.
Yeah, I think they've been very unlucky with
injuries.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at them, Percival, Simon, Kit Graham, Eddie Brazil, and there was more people in the injury room than there was out on training pitch. And, you know, some of them players are starters for Tottenham, key players. Thankfully, we're starting to see them come back now, so you're getting Kit Graham back. And I just think they've been unfortunate, but, you know, I think maybe change has happened at the right time for them to stay in this league.
It's just occurred to me as well that the men's team might be managerless as well very soon. There are reports that Antonio Conte has headed back to Italy. But that aside, you coach at the club. What's the atmosphere like there at the moment?
I think obviously last week it was a weird atmosphere, given obviously someone's just lost their job, and I don't think many people really saw it coming, because Rhianne was the fit for the club and the long-term future of the club. I just think that the team got in a place where actually you're in real danger here of drop in a league, and a team like Tottenham Hotspur can't be seen to be doing that. So it's been a weird week, but I think those 3 points have lifted everybody on the women's side, and now they're ready to kick on and turn the season around.
Yeah, Leicester still trying to do that, a point behind Brighton. Really going to be a fascinating run-in in the relegation battle. It's a fascinating run-in in the title race in the Championship as well. More twists and turns this weekend, and a crucial match in terms of that promotion spot. London City Lionesses have closed the gap on Bristol City to just 3 points after beating the leaders 2-0, two second-half goals from Atlanta Primus. A massive statement, Jenna. It's going down to the wire. 5 games left to play. Bristol have Southampton, Sheffield United, Sunderland, Charlton and Birmingham. London City arguably have the easier run in. Durham, Charlton, Southampton, Blackburn and Coventry. So tight.
It really is, isn't it? And I think it just shows the strength that the Championship is going from. There's no easy games in there even. I remember that from when I was playing. It's such a tough league to get out of. It's exciting. I think both sets of players, obviously I've been in that place with Tottenham, and all you can focus on is getting into the WSL. You'd be obsessed with it now until the end of the season. So yeah, massive. And every game for both teams is a cup final, because I don't think either can afford to drop any points. So they're going to have to treat every game like a cup final.
With these kind of situations, you know, we've talked about it before, and obviously that there is this new company coming in to manage the leagues, and so it's definitely on the table in terms of extending. When you see a title race this close and one of these teams is going to miss out, and then you see what's going on at the bottom of the WSL, you know, the gap where it feels like at some points it's really widening, in others it feels as if it's closing at the same time. This is surely a time to start expanding, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think what we're seeing is the top teams are just kicking on, and all the best players are going to the top teams, which I think is creating, even though the teams lower down in the league are improving, it's so, so difficult to keep up. Maybe eventually in time they will catch up, but at the minute, you know, still our league, each team has different backing from their clubs. You look at a Reading, for example, who have no backing at all. So in that sense, yeah, I think the top teams in the Championships and the lower teams in the WSL, there's that real, you know, quite similar in places, I guess. It's a shame for one of them to have to lose out, but at the minute, that's the state of the game, and hopefully in years to come, it won't be. We'll have more teams going up and going down.
Yeah, Coventry 9 points at the bottom after a 4-1 defeat to Charlton. Still have 2 games in hand in third place, Charlton, and could make the title race even more interesting. Your former boss Karen Hill is doing great things for Charlton. Southampton, though, dropped to fourth after a 1-0 defeat at home to Durham. Rio Hardy with the only goal of the game there. And Sheffield United earned a point against Sunderland in a 1-1 draw. In the FA Women's National League as well, just want to keep you update with what's going on there, because there's going to be some big teams potentially coming up into the Championship, or a big team when the playoff happens, depending on if they get through the licensing laws as well. But Ipswich went top of the Southern Premier after a 4-1 win over Crawley, while Burnley move up to second in the Northern Premier, beating Derby by the same scoreline. They're now just a point behind leaders Nottingham Forest with a game in hand. And in the Women's Scottish Cup semi-final draw, Celtic will face Glasgow City at Hampden Park, and Rangers will play Motherwell. Those ties will be played on the 22nd and 23rd of April. Right, you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. You were just hearing the thoughts of former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci. Coming up, we're going to round up all the stories from the past week.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
It's a wonder goal!
The home for women's football.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers, former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci is with me. We are available on podcast as well, don't forget, as if you could. I remind you every single week, plenty of places you can download us, but first head to the TalkSport app to find us. You can obviously subscribe elsewhere as well. Now then, massive Women's Champions League quarterfinals this week. Arsenal are in Germany on Tuesday night to face Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena. Chelsea travel to Lyon on Wednesday to the Parc Olympique Lyonnais. I mean, Chelsea, let's focus on them first, Jenna, sailed through the group stages undefeated. What do you make of their chances against Lyon, who of course Arsenal beat in the group stages 5-1?
Yeah, I mean, given that result, when you look at that on paper, you'd fancy Chelsea, wouldn't you, going into that game? I think Chelsea, obviously, it's the one competition they've really struggled to get over that last hurdle. And I think their squad-wise, I think they're probably more ready than ever. I think they've got the experience over the last couple of seasons and remember how painful it is, the results that they have suffered. I think mentally they might be ready. I think they're in form. Obviously, Sam Kerr, I think Lauren James could be a time to shine on the biggest stage. So for me, I'd fancy Chelsea, but you can't write a team like Lyon off ever. There's so much talent.
Eight-time winners.
Mm. Pretty big on the Champions League stage, but I think...
And players maybe who are having a few upsets in their national team as well that will want to, have the opportunity to get silverware because perhaps they're not going out to Australia for the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a sad time for what's going on over there in their national team and their players that, top players who potentially aren't going to be at the World Cup. It's just, it's a sad loss for everyone. Maybe a gain for England when it comes to it. But no, they're a team full of quality. But for me, I think this season, I think the English teams, I just feel that they're a bit of a different level now. Mm. Whether that be the success over the summer or... the investment in the WSL, it all seems to be coming together now. I feel like the Arsenal and Chelsea, they seem on another level to other teams.
Yeah, that's interesting because Chelsea, the only English team to reach a Champions League final since Arsenal's success in 2007, which is the only time that an English team has won it. But it was a 4-0 defeat against Barcelona in 2021 that Emma Hayes was so... angry and frustrated about. Yeah. They've done all the hard work to get there, but it does feel as if they've recruited players who could potentially lift that trophy for them. But Arsenal are now finding a little bit of form, which is fascinating. They had a fantastic group stage as well, up against Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena. That's going to be some atmosphere.
Oh, it's going to be incredible, isn't it? But yeah, like you say, I think Arsenal have found their form again. I think that Conti Cup win was exactly what they needed and at the right time for them to now kick on in the Champions League and for the rest of the season. I've been following the Bundesliga quite a bit and I've been really impressed with Bayern Munich, actually. But my only worry for them and Wolfsburg is the competition that they have week in, week out isn't at the level of the WSL. Mm. For example, they're playing each other on Sunday, and I think if Wolfsburg win it, then the league's over because Wolfsburg won the first leg. That's how it's just really those two teams going for it. So week in, week out, your Bayern Munich and Wolves aren't being tested like Chelsea or Arsenal and, and the WSL on any given day, anyone can take a point off of anyone. Yeah. Whereas in the Bundesliga, it's kind of a given. I think that the gap, the quality in their league just isn't there. So for me, I think that could be a real positive for Arsenal going into this.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And of course, both teams get to have the second leg at home as well, which could be a huge advantage. The other fixtures, by the way, Roma welcome Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain host Wolfsburg. Two very different bits of news regarding two former England internationals came out this week, Jenna, as well. Let's take the one that took most of us by surprise. First of all, Jodie Taylor rejoining Arsenal for the rest of the season after leaving NWSL side San Diego Wave after her contract expired. 36 years old. What did you make of this move, Jenna?
I mean, it shocked me. I didn't come and see it coming like many people. I know Jonas Idebel made a massive, massive thing about he had his eyes set on Russo, didn't he? It was a big thing and it kind of dominated them. And it may have something to do with their downfall after that, felt sorry for Black Stennis in that moment because I think she was part of the deal at one point and then was struggling in front of goal. But thankfully, she's turned that around. So he's made no secret that he wants, you know, a number nine, a striker. And I guess Jodie Taylor is that. Is she the striker to, you know...
Is she the Jodie Taylor that, of yeah. Arsenal 5 years ago when she was there and scored 10 goals in 17 appearances? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at her stats, that it's not that. But it's kind of a free hit, I guess, for Arsenal and for Jodie Taylor. Look, she's obviously a quality player. You don't lose that. Maybe a good squad player, I'd say. And they need, you know, obviously without Mead and Miedemar... They need that depth in the attacking third. So as a squad player, yeah, I'd like to see how it works.
Mm. Former Chelsea and England goalkeeper Carly Telford has retired, capped 27 times for the Lionesses, won 3 WSL titles with Chelsea. She put on social media, after 20 years playing the beautiful game, it's time for me to hang up the old boots and gloves. She's such a popular person on the circuit. Is that what you would describe
circuit?
It as?
Yeah,
you
can go circuit.
Circuit
yeah.
will do, but you know, she's such good fun, is Carly Telford. But this was coming, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like she's been around forever, hasn't she? She's won nearly everything, so much experience, and yeah, obviously represented her country many, many times. So it's always a sad day, but I think she would have known it was coming, just speaking from experience. You get to a certain point. But no, I think excited to see where it takes her next. Will she come home? Will she stay in America? I mean, the opportunities now after retiring from the game, they're endless. So yeah, really excited to see what she does next.
Yeah, absolutely. And another departure as well. Kelly Simmons is going to be leaving the FA after 30 years of what's been described as a seminal contribution in developing the women's game in England by FA Chief Executive Mark Bullingham. She's obviously the director of the women's professional game. She's going to leave that role in the summer before leaving the governing body completely next year. But the contribution that she's made and driving the professionalism of the game has been huge.
Yeah, massive. 30 years in the steering seat, and now look where the WSL is. It's one of the best. Well, I think it's the best league in the world right now. And I think a lot of countries are looking over to us now, trying to, you know, replicate that in their countries, which is massive, because we'd always look to America or somewhere else. But I think she's done a phenomenal job, and it's a massive, massive loss. But yeah, the game, our game wouldn't be where it is without her.
No, it certainly wouldn't. Obviously, this comes when the FA's trying to hand over the ownership of the WSL to an independent company, which we mentioned earlier. But I mean, she has been such an important part of laying the foundations for its growth, and was a popular part of the FA, still is until she steps down in the summer. Right, that's it, Jenna. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I shall see you soon. Thank you to Jenna Scalacci, Carla Ward, producer Keelan, and of course all of you as ever for listening. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show live, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app or listen back throughout the week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.